in which we all learn about Halloween. October 28. I have been up and down the mountain every day for a week, watching to see if walnuts and hickory nuts are ripe. Today, I found the squirrels all over the trees, harvesting them furiously, and so I have decided that, ripe or not, I must gather them. It's me or the squirrels. I tethered Frightful in the hickory tree while I went to the walnut tree and filled pouches. Frightful protected the hickory nuts. She keeps the squirrels so busy scolding her that they don't have time to take the nuts. They are quite terrified by her. It is a good scheme. I shout and bang the tree and keep them away while I gather. I have never seen so many squirrels. They hang from the slender branches. They bounce through the limbs. They seem to come from the whole forest. They must pass messages along to each other, messages that tell what kind of nuts and where the trees are. A few days later, my storehouse rolling with nuts, I began the race for apples. Entering this race were squirrels, raccoons, and a fat old skunk who looked as if he could not eat another bite. He was ready to sleep his autumn meal off, and I resented him because he did not need my apples. However, I did not toy with him. I gathered what apples I could, cut some in slices, and dried them on the boulder in the sun. Some I put in the storeroom tree to eat right away. They were a little wormy, but it was wonderful to eat an apple again. Then one night, this was all done. The crop was gathered. I sat down to make a few notes when the Baron came sprinting into sight. He actually bounced up and licked the edges of my turtle shell bowl, stormed Frightful, and came to my feet. "Baron Weasel," I said, "it is nearing Halloween. Are you playing tricks or treats?" I handed him the remains of my turtle soup dinner, and, fascinated, watched him devour it. Notes. The Baron chews with his back molars, and chews with a ferocity I have not seen in him before. His eyes gleam, the lips curl back from his white pointed teeth, and he frowns like an angry man. If I move toward him, a rumble starts in his chest that keeps me back. He flashes glances at me. It is indeed strange to be looked in the eye by this fearless wild animal. There is something human about his beady glance. Perhaps because that glance tells me something. It tells me he knows who I am and that he does not want me to come any closer. The Baron Weasel departed after his feast. Frightful, who was drawn up as skinny as a stick, relaxed and fluffed her feathers. And then I said to her, "See, he got his treats. No tricks." Then something occurred to me. I reached inside the door and pulled out my calendar stick. I counted 28, 29, 30, 31. "Frightful, that old weasel knows. It is Halloween. Let's have a Halloween party." Swiftly, I made piles of cracked nuts, smoked rabbit, and crayfish. I even added two of my apples. This food was an invitation to the squirrels, foxes, raccoons, opossums, even the birds that lived around me to come have a party. When Frightful is tethered to her stump, some of the animals and birds will only come close enough to scream at her. So Bird and I went inside the tree, propped open the flap, and waited. Not much happened that night. I learned that it takes a little time for the woodland messages to get around. But they do. Before the party, I had been very careful about leaving food out because I needed every mouthful. I took the precaution of rolling a stone in front of my store tree. The harvest moon rose. Frightful and I went to sleep. At dawn, we abandoned the party. I left the treats out, however. Since it was a snappy, gold-colored day, we went off to get some more rabbit skins to finish my winter underwear. We had lunch along the creek. stewed mussels, and wild potatoes. We didn't get back until dusk because I discovered some wild rice in an oxbow of the stream. There was no more than a handful. Home that night, everything seemed peaceful enough. A few nuts were gone to the squirrels, I thought. I baked a fish in leaves and ate a small, precious amount of wild rice. It was marvelous. As I settled down to scrape the rabbit skins of the day, my neighbor the skunk marched right into the campground and set to work on the smoked rabbit. I made some Halloween notes. The moon is coming up behind the aspens. It is as big as a pumpkin and as orange. The winds are cool. The stars are like electric light bulbs. I am just inside the doorway, with my turtle shell lamp burning so that I can see to write this. Something is moving beyond the second hemlock. Frightful is very alert, as if there are things all around us. Halloween was over at midnight last night, but for us it is just beginning. That's how I feel anyhow, but it just may be my imagination. I wish Frightful would stop pulling her feathers in and drawing herself up like a spring. I keep thinking that she feels things. Here comes Jesse C. James. He will want the venison. He didn't get the venison. There was a snarl, and a big raccoon I've never seen walked past him, growling and looking ferocious. Jesse C. stood motionless, I might say, scared stiff. He held his head at an angle and let the big fellow eat. If Jesse so much as rolled his eyes, that old coon would sputter at him. It grew dark, and I couldn't see much. An eerie yelp behind the boulder announced that the red fox of the meadow was nearing. He gave me goosebumps. He stayed just beyond my store tree, weaving back and forth on silent feet. Every now and then he would cry, a wavery, owl-like cry. I wrote some more. The light from my turtle lamp casts leaping shadows. To the beech nuts has come a small gray animal. I can't make out what. Now I see it. It's a flying squirrel. That surprises me. I've never seen a flying squirrel around here. But of course, I haven't been up much after sunset. When it grew too dark to see, I lit a fire, hoping it would not end the party. It did not, and the more I watched, the more I realized that all these animals were familiar with my camp. A white-footed mouse walked over my woodpile as if it were his. I put out the candle and fell asleep when the fire turned to coals. Much later, I was awakened by screaming. I lifted my head and looked into the moonlit forest. A few guests, still lingering at the party, saw me move, and dashed bashfully into the ground cover. One was big and slender. I thought perhaps a mink. As I slowly came awake, I realized that screaming was coming from behind me. Something was in my house. I jumped up and shouted, and two raccoons skittered under my feet. I reached for my candle, slipped on hundreds of nuts, and fell. When I finally got a light and looked about me, I was dismayed to see what a mess my guests had made of my treehouse. They had found the cache of acorns and beech nuts and had tossed them all over my bed and floor. The party was getting rough. I chased the raccoons into the night and stumbled over a third animal and was struck by a wet, stinging spray. It was skunk! I was drenched! As I got used to the indignity and the smell, I saw the raccoons cavort around my fireplace and dodge past me. They were back in my tree before I could stop them. A bat winged in from the darkness and circled the tallow candle. It was Halloween, and the goblins were at work. I thought of all the ash cans I had knocked over on the streets of New York. It seemed utterly humorless. Having invited all these neighbors, I was now faced with the problem of getting rid of them. The raccoons were feeling so much at home that they snatched up beech nuts, bits of dried fish and venison, and tossed them playfully into the air. They were too full to eat any more, but were having a marvelous time making toys out of my hard-won winter food supply. I herded the raccoons out of the tree and laced the door. I was breathing relief when I turned my head to the left, for I sensed someone watching me. There in the moonlight, his big ears erect on his head, sat the red fox. He was smiling. I know he was. I shouted, "Stop laughing!" And he vanished like a magician's handkerchief. All this had awakened Frightful, who was flopping in the dark in the tree. I reached in around the deer flap to stroke her back to calmness. She grabbed me so hard I yelled, and the visitors moved to the edge of my camp at my cry. Smelling to the sky, bleeding in the hand, and robbed of part of my hard-won food, I threw wood on the fire and sent an enormous shaft of light into the night. Then I shouted. The skunk moved farther away. The raccoons galloped off a few feet and galloped back. I snarled at them. They went to the edge of the darkness and stared at me. I had learned something that night from that very raccoon bossing Jesse C. James. To animals, might is right. I was biggest and I was oldest, and I was going to tell them so. I growled and snarled and hissed and snorted. It worked. They understood and moved away. Some looked back and their eyes glowed. The red eyes chilled me. Never had there been a more real Halloween night. I looked up, expecting to see a witch. The last bat of the season darted in the moonlight. I dove on my bed and tied the door. There are no more notes about Halloween.